Sam, please turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 22. My wife told me after fellowship, she went and met the couple who was here celebrating their 63rd wedding anniversary, and she gave me some more information. I understand that y'all were missionaries in the Philippines for how many years? 28 years in the Philippines. Amen. Whereabouts in the Philippines? Sir? Mindanao? Because we might have somebody from the Philippines here this morning. So, I mean, y'all kind of talk to each other after the service. Turn your Bibles again to the book of Matthew, chapter 22. Last week, as we continued in our series of things God wants us to know, we learned that God wants us to know what we are as Christians. Who we are the week before, but what we are as Christians last week. We learned from the gospel writer Matthew in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16, that God has called us to be salt and light to this cold, dark world. We saw that salt is an additive, a tool, a medicine, a cleaner, and a preservative. And that's what God intends for us as Christians to be on our mission field. As we looked at light, understanding that God called us to be light as well, we learned that light gives off warmth, light sterilizes, light casts off darkness. And this too is what God intends all Christians to do and to be. We also learned that who we come in contact with will diminish our savor and extinguish our light. Things we allow ourselves to experience can remove us from the source of salt and light that we all need to stay close to the source to stay effective for our Lord. Now, this morning, I want to ask a very simple, yet disturbing question. Do I have everybody's attention? I want to ask a very simple, yet disturbing question. Are you truly sure right now that you're saved? I come in contact with people a lot of times, and I interact. I actually do, Bill, what I tell y'all to do. Somebody asks me, how are you doing today? And I'll say, hey, listen, I'm great. Jesus saved my soul. I'm saved by the grace of God. And they kind of look at you like this. And I'll look at them sometimes, and I'll say, you know, are you sure that you're saved? And they'll say something like this: well, I hope I am. I think I am. I may be. Sometimes I get, you know, responses like this. They'll say, well, my grandfather was a Southern Baptist preacher, or my grandmother was a devout. She was a praying woman. Well, that doesn't matter. I'm not asking about them. I'm asking about you. Do you know that you're truly saved this morning? Because that's what we're going to deal with. Look at Matthew chapter 22, verse 11. And those of you who were here in my Wednesday night class, and all of you were invited. Listen, everybody's invited to a Wednesday night class. And we're talking about the most important man in all the world's history, the life of Christ, step by step by step. And it's getting good. It's getting better. We're right close to we're in the last week of Christ's ministry. He says this in chapter 22, verse 11. Jesus says, but when the king came in view of the guest, he saw a man there who was not dressed for a wedding. So he said to him, friend, how did you get here without wedding clothes? The man was speechless. Church, that means he didn't know what to say. The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, tie him up hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen. Now, if you were here Wednesday night, you know I addressed this in detail. This is the third parable, or the second parable, that Jesus goes into concerning his authority. The king has authority. Jesus is the king, and he has certain authority. Amen? He has all authority. Let's pray. Father, we come to you asking forgiveness of our sins. Lord, asking you to distill our hearts right now, still our minds. God, we came here to worship you, and Lord, we have. We came here to sing words of praise unto you, and we have. And God, there's some of us, and I hope all of us, Lord, have come to hear a word from you. So God, I pray that you would prepare our hearts. I pray that you would wake us and shake us. There wouldn't be any moving around, wouldn't be any sleeping. There wouldn't be anybody who's just irritated or apprehensive about getting out of here and getting out of here early. And God, I pray that you would just settle us, that we might truly hear a word from you this morning. God, that's why we came. So speak to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Now listen, let me ask you, or just make this statement at the very beginning. One of my greatest fears as a pastor is that somebody who is set under my teaching, somebody who is set under me preaching, walks out those doors just as lost as they came in. That's why every single Sunday, and I've seen some people at, you know, when I'm giving the invitation, they'll say, there he goes. I give an invitation to the lost every Sunday morning. Why? Because there is a propensity that there are lost people. There is a possibility that there are lost people here every Sunday morning. Every Sunday morning. That's why I give an invitation to the lost. And I extend that every single week. And I might use the same wording or the same phrases. Well, why do you do that, Brother Kyle? Because I don't want somebody to come in here who is lost and not have an invitation to be found. Amen? Well, Brother Kyle, why don't you give an invitation on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights? Well, how do you know I don't? Won't you come? Well, listen, Sunday night and Wednesday night, Christians are supposed to be here. Those who are truly saved. Hey, listen, if you come Sunday night, you really want to be here, right? And if you come Wednesday night, not only do you want to be here, you want to learn something. Amen? But there are times that I do give an invitation on Sunday night and Wednesday night. Now listen, one of my greatest fears is somebody sits here and walks out lost. So this morning, I want you to pay attention. It's not my fault. It's really not if you walk out of here lost this morning. Let me ask you this question. What will happen if this person that I just read about is you? What's going to happen? If you think you are saved but you're lost, what's going to happen, church member, faithful church member? What's going to happen if this is you? If you think you're saved but you're lost, what I just read in Matthew chapter 22 to the unknown reader would not be all that disturbing. But to one who knows exactly what the Scripture is saying, it should be bone-chilling. This man, seen in verse 11, who was at the wedding feast, yet not dressed for the feast, represents a person who thinks they have salvation, but in fact does not. They think, Brother Ricky, listen, they think I'm saved, but they're really not. Now understand this. If Jesus says this in Scripture, if he makes it a point, Brother Bob, to make it a point in the Scripture, if Jesus is telling us about this event taking place, that means it's going to happen. It's going to happen. People are going to come to the feast of the Lamb, and they're going to be there, and they're going to be ready to eat at the table and feast with the King, and he's going to look around and say, "Brother, what are you doing here? You don't have on wedding garments." Well, hold on a second. How did he get past the door? He snuck in the back way. Or he came around a way that wasn't meant. Well, how can that happen? According to Jewish tradition, if you go to a wedding feast and you're invited to a wedding feast and you do not have the appropriate clothing on, they will give you garments to come into the feast. Right? How did this man get in? How did he get around? Well, he thought he was invited, but he went in a different direction. He went in a different way. Look with me just for a moment at the end of verse 12. Matthew records the words that Jesus spoke as this man was confronted to being at the feast without proper clothes. This man, Scripture tells us, was speechless. Church, do you know why this man was speechless? Because he thought that he had done everything he was supposed to do to be a guest at this feast. He thought that he had done all that he needed to do to be a guest at this feast, yet he had not. Warren Wiersbe says, this scripture represents those who confess salvation but do not possess salvation. Those who confess salvation but do not possess salvation. 18 inches. Distance between your head and your heart. 18 inches. These people imagine their own goodness is good enough for God. Well, I'm good enough. I'm better than so-and-so. I'm better than they are. It's not good enough. It's not good enough. Church, one of the biggest fears as a pastor, and I said this earlier, is that there are a large number of people who grace the doors of the church occasionally who think they're saved, but they're not. I can guarantee you with 100% accuracy rate this morning that someone is here who is not saved. Because, listen, God put this message on my heart. There is somebody in this auditorium this morning who thinks you are saved. You're just like this man. You're going to show up to the wedding feast, and you're going to be sitting there smiling, a plate right there in front of you, waiting for the banquet to be served, and the master's going to come in, the king's going to come in. Wake up, listen. The king's going to come in and say, look, you know, what are you doing here? You don't have the proper attire on. You don't belong here. And you're going to be thrown out. Well, Brother Kyle, that's terrible. How can you say that? I'm not saying it. The Word of God's saying it. I'm just preaching it. Now, let me tell you, you may, whoever you are, I don't know who you are, you may be fooling those around you into thinking that you're truly saved. You may fool your friends, your family, your husband, your wife, your mom, your dad. Hey, listen, you may be even able to fool your preacher, your pastor, into thinking that you're truly saved. There have been several times that I have preached a funeral for a person who professed to be saved and walked away hoping, and I walked away hoping and praying that they were saved, because all I knew to be true was what I saw from their fruit. And church, listen to me. There are many times where I preached the funeral of a person who said they were saved, and I saw no evidence in their lives that they were truly saved. None. None. They professed it, Ricky, but I didn't see any possession of the Lord. None. Listen, you can most definitely fool your preacher. You can fool your family. But can I tell you something this scripture tells us? You cannot fool God. You absolutely cannot fool Jesus. When you show up to the reception, He is going to spot you dead on. You can fool a lot of people, but you can't fool God. Well, what will happen to you? What will happen if this is you? If you've got a counterfeit, that's what Amy's granddaddy used to call it, a counterfeit salvation. What is it that's going to happen to you if this is you, if this scripture is talking about you? If you think that you're saved, but you're not. If you show up to the banquet feast without having the proper clothes. Hey, listen, fashion is important to everybody, and I know to a lot of you. I know some of you won't walk out of the house without having matching shoes with your outfit. I know how you are. Listen, this is one time when you better have the right outfit on. My wife does a lot of things for me, Ryan, and she gives me the eye. You know, how do I look? You look good. You look, you know, that looks good. You match. There's times where I come out and I've got a different shirt on. I've gone to the Goodwill and I've got me a new shirt, new to me shirt on, Tony. And you know, I've got my shoes on. I say, baby, how's this look? And she'll say, I mean, she helps me. She's my fashion police. She really is. This better be one time where you have the right outfit on, church. There's no going back. Look at verse 13. Look at verse 13. Verse 13 says, then the king told the attendants, tie him up hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What'll happen? What'll happen? Listen to me. Number one, if you die thinking that you're saved, if you die thinking you're saved, you will still stand before my Jesus. And let me tell you what he'll say to you. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Or I can turn to Matthew chapter 7 and I'll read it. I'll tell you what he's going to say to you. Matthew 7, verse 21. Matthew 7, verse 21 says this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of the Father in heaven. On that day, what is that word in your scripture next? What does that say? On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do many miracles in your name? Jesus says, then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers. I didn't know you. Hey, listen, there's many people. Listen, you might profess. There's something else that has to take place. Something deeper than just your lip service. You can give lip service to anybody. If you have children, you hear lip service all week long, don't you? It's like the first parable we heard this past week on Wednesday night that you were invited to come listen to. A father told his son, first son, go to the vineyard. He said, I don't want to go. Then later on he went, looked at the second son and said, son, go to the vineyard. Yes, sir, I'll go right now. And he never went. Jesus looked at the Pharisees and he said, you know, which one of these sons was in the will of God? I'll answer that for you. I mean, they could have gone, you know, A, B, or C. I'd have taken C. Neither of them were. Neither of them were in the will of God. Church, listen to me, but it gets worse. What else is going to happen to you if you're lost? If you're lost and you think you're saved. Listen, number two, if the rapture of the church comes, and it could come at any time, not one more prophecy needs to take place before Jesus returns to take his bride home. Listen, if you are lost and you think you're saved, you will suffer through tribulation. And you will bow down before the Antichrist. You will worship and serve the Prince of Darkness. You will suffer through each and every atrocity that is prophesied in the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel. Listen, the suffering that you will endure is unlike anything a human mind can imagine. And yet, in all of your suffering on earth, it will not compare to what's coming next. Are you prepared for that? I don't know who you are this morning. You've professed with your mouth, but you don't possess the same Jesus I do. You've said that you have salvation, but you're going to show up to the banquet with the wrong clothes on. And listen, you might have fooled all of us, but you're not going to fool Jesus. He already knows who you are. What else is going to happen? Church, if you die without Jesus, you will suffer in a literal hell for all eternity. I don't know who you are. You know, I can add up. I wasn't good at math, but I mean, I know how many 5 years are and 10 years are and 20 years are. And good gracious, I'm going to soon know what 47 years feels like. Anybody want to come and explain what eternity's like? All eternity? If you are here this morning and you've professed but you do not possess Jesus, if you have a false salvation, if what you've got is not real, if you die right now, if Jesus returns right now, you will spend all eternity in hell. You might be sitting here right now and think, well, that's just not a fair punishment. And if you just had that thought, if you have that thought, that might be a clear indicator that you don't have the same Jesus I have. Well, Brother Kyle, what do you mean you don't think it's, you know, you think it's fair that somebody spends all eternity in hell? That's not for me to judge. But I'll tell you this. Jesus died for my lost sin. He died for me. I was lost. I needed a Savior. And He came into this world, Brother White, because of me. And He came because of you. He would have come if it was only you. And if you die without accepting Jesus as your as your Savior, if you die, if the church is raptured without you accepting Jesus as your personal Savior, hey, listen, it's not up to me to judge, but yes, you deserve it. You're not denying me. You're not denying this church. You're denying the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How much more can He give you? How much more mercy and grace and love and understanding can Jesus display to you that you might not accept Him? Basically, what you're doing by not accepting Him, you're telling not me, you're telling Jesus Christ, the King, the sinless one, that you don't want to have nothing to do with Him. You're rebelling and rejecting the Son of God. Yeah, I believe you deserve eternity in hell. I think you deserve it. You're not rejecting me, but you're rejecting Jesus. Well, preacher, you know, you're saying that you believe that there's somebody here that's not saved. Well, yeah, I do, because Jesus put this on my heart. Well, how in the world can I know that I'm saved? Is it possible? Is it even possible for a person to truly know beyond a shadow of any doubt that they're saved? Can they know that the words of repentance they have spoken are genuine? Some would say there's no real way to know for sure that you're saved. But listen, you just have to live a good life, they say, and be good to people and hope, just hope when you stand before the Lord, you've done enough for Him to let you into heaven. Listen, you're not ever going to be good enough. You're not ever going to do enough to get into heaven. Not possible. It's not scripturally possible. Church, this is a lie out of the pits of hell. Listen, I am here to tell you this morning that you can know that you belong to the same Jesus that I do. You can know. You can absolutely know. Well, is that your opinion? Absolutely not. It's scriptural truth. You can know that you're saved. Please know that it's not my opinion I'm basing this on. Scripture tells us that we can know that we're truly saved. Look with me real quick in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Y'all know exactly where I'm going here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this. Therefore, if anyone, that is just like the anyone in John 3:16, isn't it? Is that not amazing, Dan? Listen, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, there might be, is that what y'all's version says? There could, listen, wake up. Listen, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and look, new things have come. Now everything is from God, now reconciled to us and to Himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. This scripture tells us if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Do you know what that means? He started something new inside of you. You are progressively becoming more, not like the world, but like Him. Do you still sin? Oh, yeah. Are you still tempted? Oh, yeah. But you're different. You're different, Ricky. Can I give y'all an illustration? Can I give you one? And this is about your preacher. This is me. And Amy's going to be mad at me probably for giving this, but this is me. This past week, we were at Hobby Lobby. And that right there is enough, Tony. I mean, that's... Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you. We were at Hobby Lobby. And Cynthia, you know, I've spent more money this past month than I've spent in my entire life, this wedding. Girls and weddings. Guys, if y'all have a girl, you have a daughter, you better go ahead and start saving right now. But we go to Hobby Lobby. And there's this round cake, distress-looking thing, plate thing that you put stuff in. I mean, right? And it's Corey's got a sale. You got two girls, son. You better really start saving. And it's got a sale sticker on it. It says sale $13. I mean, to a guy, that's, you know, who cares? I ain't spending $13 on that, but $13, that's, you need to get that. We need to get that. But right beside it is one, it's identical, Angie, except it has glass plates in it. And it's $30. Well, I'm thinking to myself, well, hey, I mean, it's identical. We'll just pop the plates out of this and put it in this and buy, you know, $13. Right? Listen, I mean, I even did it. Tony, I did it. I took the plates out of the $30 one and put it in the one that had, it was $13. And I mean, I picked it up. And the Holy Spirit of God said, no. That's the old you. That's who you used to be. You used to do stuff like that and it didn't bother you. But I'm here to tell you, you belong to me. You can't do stuff like that anymore. If you have any problems understanding that, I'll give you a definition. That is stealing. You can't do that. Why can't I do that? Why can't I listen? It's right beside each other. It's identical. They did it. I didn't do it, Holy Spirit, because you belong to me now. That's what this scripture says. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Doesn't mean you're perfect. What it means is you know better. You know better. Scripture, listen, Scripture tells us then you can know that you're saved. Let me ask you this. Was there a real change in your life when you say you accepted Jesus as your Savior? If you're the same person today that you were the day you say you accepted Jesus, let me tell you something, you're lost. You're lost. If you can do the same things, say the same things, talk the same way with a filthy mouth, listen, if you can go the same places you've always gone, you don't belong to the same Jesus I belong to. You've got on a false robe. When you go to the banquet, listen, your Jesus is going to say, why are you here? Bind him hand and foot and toss him out of here. He doesn't belong here. Why? That sounds so unfair because you don't have the same Jesus I do. Brother, you think you're perfect? Absolutely not. I really don't. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. Jesus saves us to make us more like Him, church. Jesus does not save us to let us continue in the ways of the world. If you are saved, can I tell you that you know right now that you're saved? If you're lost, can I tell you that you know right now that you're lost? Why don't you do something about it right now? Steve mentioned a few minutes ago that we have an altar, and we do have an altar. And I'm going to give that invitation right here in a second. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, if what you have isn't real, if you haven't changed, if your lifestyle, your attitude, your mindset, your mouth, where you go, what you do, if nothing's changed, listen, that's a great indicator that the change of Jesus isn't in you. And we want to give you an opportunity to come this morning to accept and to know Jesus as your personal Savior. So let's all stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. Lord Jesus, we pray that your Spirit would move amongst us. Pray that your Holy Spirit would convict in a way that only He can convict. Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes and our ears and our hearts and help us, Lord, to see and to feel you like never before. But God, I pray that you would show us, help us to see ourselves right now the way you see us. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come? Was this message for you this morning? Was this about you? Would you come when the music plays and accept Christ as your personal Savior? Will you come?